In just a moment, enjoy Best Plays. First, we'd like to remind you that weekdays, too, this station entertains you royally. For quiz, there's a trio of top shows, Red Benson's Phrase That Pays, and our two newest additions, Second Chance and It Pays to Be Married. There's comedy with Bob Hope, interesting guests with Dave Garraway, and Tommy Bartlett's Welcome Travelers, and the accurate reporting of NBC's Pauline Fredericks. Now, stay tuned for Best Plays on NBC. From New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays with John Chapman. Best Plays, a series of hour-length dramas selected from the outstanding successes of the New York stage. Now, John Chapman, drama critic of the New York Daily News, is here to introduce Eva Le Gallienne and Stutz Cotsworth with Paul McGrath and Horace Braham in Macbeth by William Shakespeare. Mr. Chapman.
Thank you, Fred Collins, and welcome, audience. Like all the other works of Shakespeare, Macbeth has been subject to alterations, trimmings, and treatments ever since Elizabethan times, and it is quite likely that the author himself, being a practical actor, did quite a lot of monkeying with the script after the first draft was completed. Any play, no matter how bad or how trivial, is subject to interpretations by the people who are producing it and acting it. The works of Shakespeare, being the greatest we have had in the history of the stage or the history of literature, are so filled with life and color and strength that they lend themselves to an endless variety of interpretations. Macbeth can be played in many ways. Our principal actors at this performance, Eva Le Gallienne and Stutz Cotsworth, are devoted Shakespeareans, and they are interested in Macbeth as a study of progressive crime. They see the drama as a story of the dreadful ambition of Lady Macbeth and the manner in which this ambition brought about the disintegration and doom of her husband. The locale is the Scotland of the 11th century. And, of course, the drama begins, as it must begin, with the meeting of the three weird sisters on the moor.
When shall we free meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain?
When the hurly-burly's done. When the battle's lost and won.
That will be ever set of sun.
Where the place?
Upon the heath.
There to meet with Macbeth.
I come, Grey Malkin.
Had a cold. Anon! Fair is foul, and all is fair.
Hover through the fog and filthy air.
Those are the voices of the three weird sisters, the witches, who await the coming of Macbeth. They are real, these witches, as the spirit of evil, of destiny, is real. Their influence on Macbeth and Lady Macbeth's influence on her husband is desolate and tragic. As we meet Macbeth first, a warrior in the service of Duncan, King of Scotland, a great battle is at hand on the wide Scottish heath. Macbeth and his fellow general, Banquo, lead the forces of Duncan against the invading Norwegian army. The Thane of Ross, with tidings for the king, rides from the battlefield across the heath to Duncan's encampment.
The worthy Thane of Ross. Hail, brave friend. Say unto us the knowledge of the broil as thou didst leave it.
Doubtful it stood, as two spent swimmers that do cling together and choke their art. The Norwegian lord, assisted by that most disloyal traitor, the Thane of Cawdor, began a dismal conflict. But brave Macbeth, disdaining fortune, with his brandished steel carved out his passage till he faced the slave, which ne'er shook hands nor bade farewell to him till he unseamed him from the nave to the chaps and fixed his head upon our battlements.
Ah, valiant cousin, worthy gentleman.
And to conclude, the victory fell on us.
Great happiness. No more that Thane of Cawdor shall deceive our bosom interest. Go, pronounce his present death, and with his former title, greet Macbeth.
Sister?
In strife.
To where thou?
A sailor's wife. life had...
People lived with witchcraft in 11th century Scotland. It was both good and evil, science and sin. It explained the unexplainable. On the heath between the battlefield and Duncan's encampment, the three witches, the weird sisters, meet again. They're here to meet with Macbeth and Banquo, as they had promised they would do. They circle a boiling cauldron.
And I another.
Look what I have.
Show me. Show me.
Here I have a pile of thumb, wrecked as homeward he did come.
A drum. A drum. Macbeth doth come.
And Banquo with him.
The weird sisters hand in hand. Posters of the sea and land. Thus to go about. Thrice to thine, and thrice to mine, and thrice again to make up nine.
The charm's wound up.
So foul and fair a day I have not seen.
How far is called a forest? What are these? So withered and so wild in their attire that look not like the inhabitants of the earth and yet aren't?
Speak if you can. What are you?
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Glam.
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Cawdor.
All hail, Macbeth. That shalt be king hereafter.
Good sir, why do you start and seem to fear things that do sound so fair? In the name of truth, are ye fantastical or that indeed which outwardly ye show? My noble partner, you greet with present grace and great prediction of noble having and of royal hope. That he seems rapt withal. To me, you speak not.
Hail,
hail.
Banquo, hail.
Lesser than Macbeth and greater.
Not so happy, yet much happier.
Thou shalt get kings, though thou be none.
What?
So all hail, Macbeth and Banquo. Banquo and Macbeth, all hail.
Stay, you imperfect speakers. Tell me more. By Sinel's death, I know I am Thane of Glamis, but how of Cawdor? The Thane of Cawdor lives, a prosperous gentleman. And to be king stands not within the prospect of belief, no more than to be Cawdor. Say from whence you owe this strange intelligence, or why upon this blasted heath you stop our way with such prophetic greeting. Speak, I charge you.
They vanished. The earth hath bubbles as the water has, and these are up and whither are they vanished?
Into the air. And what seemed corporal melted as breath into the wind. Would they had stayed?
Were such things here as we do speak about, or have we eaten on the insane root that takes the reason prisoner?
Your children shall be king.
You shall be king.
And Thane of Cawdor, too, went it not so?
To the selfsame tune and words. Who's here? Is Ross.
The king hath happily received, Macbeth, the news of thy success. And when he reads thy personal venture in the rebels' fight, his wonders and his praises do contend which should be thine or his. And for an earnest of a greater honor, he bade me from him call thee Thane of Cawdor, in which addition, hail, most worthy Thane, for it is thine.
What? Can the devil speak true?
The Thane of Cawdor lives. Why do you dress me in borrowed robes?
Who was the Thane lives yet, but under heavy judgment bears that life which he deserves to lose. Treason's capital, confessed and proved, have overthrown him.
Glamis and Thane of Cawdor, the greatest is behind. Thanks for your pains. Banquo, do you not hope your children shall be kings? When those that gave the Thane of Cawdor to me promised no less to them?
That trusted home might yet enkindle you unto the crown besides the Thane of Cawdor. But 'tis strange, and oftentimes, to win us to our harm, the instruments of darkness tell us truths, win us with honest trifles, to betray us in deepest consequence. Cousin, a word, I pray you.
Two truths are told. As happy prologues to the swelling act of the imperial theme. I am Thane of Cawdor. Yet why do I yield to that suggestion whose horrid image doth unfix my hair and make my seated heart knock at my ribs against the use of nature? Present fears are less than horrible imaginings. My thought,
murder yet is but fantastical. Shakes so my single state of man that function is smothered in surmise. And nothing is but what is not.
Thus, Macbeth, his heart pounding, his mind racing, tries to banish the thoughts that come to him. He cannot. He reaches Duncan's encampment and hears the king fix the line of succession to the throne.
We will establish our estate upon our eldest, Malcolm, whom we name hereafter the Prince of Cumberland.
Then indeed does Macbeth's mind race.
The Prince of Cumberland. That is a step on which I must fall down, or else I'll leap, for in my way it lies. Stars, hide your fires. Let not light see my black and deep desires. The eye wink at the hand. Yet let that be which the eye fears when it is done to see.
Meanwhile, at Macbeth's castle, Lady Macbeth reads a letter her lord has sent her.
They met me in the day of success, and I have learned by the perfectest report they have more in them than mortal knowledge. When I burned in desire to question them further, they made themselves air, into which they vanished. Whilst I stood wrapped in the wonder of it, came missives from the king who all hailed me, Thane of Cawdor. By which title before these weird sisters saluted me and referred me to the coming on of time with hail, King, that shalt be. This have I thought good to deliver thee, my dearest partner of greatness, that thou mightst not lose the dues of rejoicing by being ignorant of what greatness is promised thee. Lay it to thy heart and farewell. Glum thou art, and Cawdor, and shalt be what thou art promised. Yet do I fear thy nature. It is too full of the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Thou wouldst be great, not without ambition, but without the illness should attend it. What thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily. Wouldst not play false, and yet wouldst wrongly win. Thou'dst have great glams, that which cries, thus must thou do if thou have it. And that which rather thou dost fear to do than wishest should be undone. Hie thee hither, that I may pour my spirits in mine ear, and chastise with the valor of my tongue all that impedes thee from the golden round which fate and metaphysical aid doth seem to have thee crowned withal.
My lady.
What is your tidings?
The king comes here tonight.
That mad to say it. Is not thy master with him, who would so would have informed for preparation?
So please you it is true. Our Thane is coming. One of my fellows had the speed of him, who almost dead for breath, had scarcely more than would make up his message.
Give him tie attending. He brings great news. The raven himself is hoarse, that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements. Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here, and fill me from the crown to the toe-top full of direst cruelty. Make thick through my blood. Stop up the access and passage to remorse that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come to my woman's breasts and take my milk for gall, you murdering wherever in your sightless substances you wait on nature's mischief. Come, thick night, and pall thee in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peep through the blanket of the dark to cry, hold, hold, great Glamis, worthy Cawdor, greater than both by the all-hail hereafter.
Shh, no.
Thy letters have transported me beyond this ignorant present, and I feel now the future in the instant.
My dearest love, Duncan comes here tonight.
And when goes hence?
Tomorrow, as he purposes.
Never shall sun that morrow see. Your face, my thane, is as a book where men may read strange matters. To beguile the time, look like the time. Bear welcome in your eye, your hand, your tongue. Look like the innocent flower. But be the serpent under it. He that's coming must be provided for. And you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall to all our nights and days to come give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
We will speak further.
Only look up clear. To alter favor ever is to fear. Leave all the rest to me.
And when the king has come and has been greeted by Macbeth and Lady Macbeth, and when the king and all his train have been seated at table, then Macbeth, his fixed smile of welcome fading from his face, leaves his banquet hall to be alone.
If it were done when 'tis done, then 'twere well it were done quickly. If the assassination could trammel up the consequence and catch with his surcease success, that but this blow might be the be-all and the end-all here. But here upon this bank and shoal of time we jump the life to come. But in these cases we still have judgment here, that we but teach bloody instructions which being taught return to plague the inventor. This even-handed justice commends the ingredients of our poisoned chalice to our own lips. He's here in double trust. First, as I am his kinsman and his subject, strung both against the deed. Then as his host, who should against his murderer shut the door, not bear the knife myself. Besides, this Duncan hath borne his faculties so meek, hath been so clear in his great office, that his virtues will plead like angels trumpet-tongued against the deep damnation that is taking off, and pity like a naked newborn babe striding the blast, or heaven's cherub enhorsed upon a sightless courier of the air, shall blow the horrid deed in every eye, that tears shall drown the wind. I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent, but only vaulting ambition, which all leaps itself and falls on the other. How now, what news?
He has almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Had he asked for me?
No, you not, he has.
We will proceed no further in this business. He hath honored me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, which would be worn now and their newest gloss not cast aside so soon.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Hath it slept since and wakes it now to look so green and pale at what it did so freely? From this time such I account thy love. Art thou afeard to be the same in thine own act and valor as thou art in desire? Wouldst thou have that which thou esteem'st the ornament of life? Or live a coward in thine own esteem, letting I dare not wait upon I would, like the poor cat in the adage?
Prithee, peace, I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none.
What beast was then that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you were a man. Nor time, nor place did then adhere, and yet you would make both. they have made themselves, and that their fitness now does unmake you. I have given suck, and know how tender it is to love the babe that milks me. I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from his boneless gums and dashed the brains out had I so sworn, as you have done to this.
If we should fail...
We fail. But screw your courage to the sticking place, and we'll not fail. When Duncan is asleep, whereto the rather shall his day's hard journey soundly invite him, his two chamberlains will I with wine and wassail so convince that memory, the warder of the brain, shall be a fume, and the receipt of reason, a limbeck only. When in swinish sleep, their drenched natures lie as in a death, what cannot you and I perform upon the unguarded Duncan? What not put upon his spongy officers, who shall bear the guilt of our great quell?
Bring forth men, children only. For thy undaunted metal should compose nothing but males. Will it not be received when we have marked with blood those sleepy two of his own chamber, and used their very daggers that they have done?
Who dares receive it other, as we shall make our griefs and clamor roar upon his death?
I am settled, and bend up each corporal agent to this terrible feat. Away, and mock the time with fairest show. False face must hide what the false heart doth know.
Now the castle is dark and sleeping. Macbeth, in the empty courtyard, turns to a sleepy servant.
Go with thy mistress. When my drink is ready, she strike upon the bell. Get thee to bed.
Is this a dagger which I see before me? Thy handle toward my hand? Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Or art thou but a dagger of the mind, a false creation proceeding from the heat-oppressed brain? I see thee yet, in form as palpable as this which now I draw. Thou marshalst me the way that I was going, and such an instrument I was to use. Mine eyes are made the fools of the other senses, or else worth all the rest. I see thee still, and on thy blade and dudgeon gouts of blood, which was not so before. There's no such thing. It is the bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes. Now, for the one half world, nature seems dead, and wicked dreams abuse the curtain sleep. Witchcraft celebrates pale Hecate's offerings, and withered murder, alarmed by his sentinel, the wolf whose howls his watch, thus with his stealthy pace, with Tarquin's ravishing strides, towards his design moves like a ghost. Thou, sure and firm set earth, hear not my steps which way they walk, for be thy very stones break of my whereabout, and take the present horror from the time which now suits with it. Whiles I threat, he lives. Words to the heat of deeds too cold breath gives. I go, and it is done. The bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan, for it is a knell that summons thee to heaven or to hell.
Mac
Macbeth goes slowly into the castle. And slowly, almost reluctantly, past the king's guards, whom Lady Macbeth has stupefied with wine, and enters the king's chamber. In the room beyond, Lady Macbeth waits.
That which hath made them drunk hath made me bold. What hath quenched them hath given me fire. Hark! Ah, peace. It was the owl that shrieked, the fatal bellman that gives us turns. Good night. He is about it. The doors are open, and the surfeited grooms do mock their charge with snores. I have drugged their possets that death and nature do contend about them, whether they live or die.
Who's there? What ho?
Alack! I am afraid they have awaked, and 'tis not done. The attempt and not the deed confounds us. Hark! I laid their daggers ready. He could not miss them. Had he not resembled my father as he slept, I had done it. My husband...
I have done the deed. Didst thou not hear a noise?
I heard the owl scream and the crickets cry. Did not you speak?
When?
Now.
As I descended?
I.
Hark! Who lies in the second chamber?
Don't obey.
This is a sorry sight.
A foolish thought to say a sorry sight.
As one did laugh in sleep, and one cried murder that they did wake each other. I stood and heard them, but they did say their prayers and address them again to sleep.
There are two lodged together.
One cried, God bless us and our men, the other, as they had seen me with these hangman's hands. Listening their fear, I could not say amen when they did say, God bless us.
Consider it not so deeply.
But wherefore could I not pronounce amen? I had most need of blessing, and amen stuck in my throat.
These deeds must not be thought after these ways, so it will make us mad.
Methought I heard a voice cry, sleep no more. Macbeth does murder sleep. The innocent sleep. Sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care. The death of each day's life, sore labor's bath, balm of hurt minds, great nature's second course, chief nourisher in life's feast.
What do you mean?
Till it cried, sleep no more, to all the house. Glams have murdered sleep, and therefore Cawdor shall sleep no more. Macbeth shall sleep no more.
Who was it that thus cried? Why, worthy fame, you do unbend your noble strength to think so brain sickly on things. Oh, get some water and wash this filthy witness from your hand. Why did you bring these daggers from the place? They must lie there. Go carry them and smear the sleepy grooms with blood.
I'll go no more. I am afraid to think what I have done. Look on't again, I dare not.
Infirm of purpose. Give me the daggers. Sleeping and the dead are but as pictures. Is the eye of childhood that fears a painted devil? If you do bleed, I'll gild the faces of the grooms with all, for it must seem their guilt.
Wait, is that knocking? Thou is't with me when every noise appalls me. What hands are here? Drach, they pluck out mine eyes. Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood clean from my hand? No. This my hand will rather the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red.
My hands are of your color, but I shame to wear a heart so white. Hear the knocking at the south entry. Retire we to our chamber. A little water clears us of this deed. How easy is it, then? Your constancy hath left you unattended. Hark, more knocking. Get on your nightgown, lest occasion call us and show us to be watchers. Be not lost so poorly in your thoughts.
To know my deed, 'twere best not know myself. Wake, Duncan, with thy knocking. I would thou couldst.
Here's a knocking indeed. Knock, knock, Mark, who's there in the name of Beelzebub? Mark, who's there in the other devil's name? Anon! My Lord Macduff.
Thy master, Sterling? Ah, my knocking has wakened him. Here he comes. Good morrow, noble sir.
Macduff, good morrow.
Is the King Sterling worthy, Thane?
Not yet.
He did command me to call timely on him. I'd almost slipped the hour.
I'll bring you to him.
I know this is a joyful trouble to you. Yes, it is one.
A labor we delight in physics, pain. This is the door.
I'll make so bold to call, for it is my limited service.
Come, your heart cannot conceive, no name me.
What's the matter?
Confusion now hath made his masterpiece. Most sacrilegious murder hath broke open the Lord's anointed temple and stole thence the life of the building.
What is it you say, the life? Me knew his majesty.
Approach the chamber and destroy your sight with a new gorgon. Do not bid me speak, see, and then speak yourselves. Awake! Awake! Ring the alarm bell, murder and treason! Banquo and Donald Bay Meltham, awake! Lady, woe alas in your house.
Too cruel anywhere, did up, I prithee contradict myself and say it is not so.
Had I but died an hour before this chance, I had lived a blessed time. For from this instant there's nothing serious in mortality. All is but toys. Renown and grace is dead. The wine of life is drawn, and the mere lees is left this vault to brag of.
What is amiss?
You are, and do not know it. The spring, the head, the fountain of your blood is stopped. The very source of it is stopped.
Your royal father's murdered.
Oh! By whom?
Those of his chamber, as it seems, had done. The hands and faces were all badged with blood. So were their daggers, which unwiped I found upon their pillows. They stared and were distracted. No man's life was to be trusted with him.
Oh, yet I do repent me of my fury that I did kill them.
Why?
Wherefore did you so?
Why?
Who can be wise, amazed, temperate and furious, loyal and neutral in a moment? No man. The expedition of my violent love outran the pause of reason. Here lay Duncan, his silver skin laced with his golden blood, and his gashed stabs looked like a breach in nature. For ruins, wasteful entrance. There are the murderers, steeped in the colors of their trade, their daggers unmannerly breached with gore. Who could refrain that had a heart to love, and in that heart, courage that makes love known?
Ah! Help me, hence! Ah!
Look to the lady!
In a moment, Act Two of Macbeth, starring Eva Le Gallion and Stutz Cotsworth. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Now, Act Two of the Best Plays production of Macbeth, starring Eva Le Gallion and Stutz Cotsworth, with Paul McGrath and Horace Braham.
Is known who did this more than bloody deed?
Those that Macbeth hath slain.
So, no suspicion falls at first upon Macbeth. In fact,
Malcolm and Donald Bane, the king's two sons, are stolen away and fled, which puts upon them suspicion of the deed.
It is, of course, for another reason the King Duncan's sons have fled.
There's daggers in men's smiles.
And surely for the sons of the slain king, this is true. It is fear that has caused them to leave the country. But for the moment, at least, their very leaving makes unlikely the discovery of Macbeth's treachery. As the highest and noblest of the lords, he's invested with the crown. Only Banquo does not join in the general rejoicing. And only secretly and alone does Banquo allow his suspicions any expression.
Thou hast it now. King Corda Glamisor. As the weird women promised. And I fear thou playedst most foully for it. Yet it was said it should not stand in thy posterity, but that myself should be the root and father of many kings. If there come truth from them, as upon thee, Macbeth, their speeches shine, why, by the verities on thee made good, may they not be my oracles as well, and set me up in hope. But hush no more.
Here's our chief guest. Banquo, tonight we hold a solemn supper, sir, and I request your presence.
Let your highness command upon me, to the which my duties are with the most indissoluble tie forever knit.
Ride you this afternoon?
I am a good lord.
We should have else desired your good advice, which still have been both grave and prosperous in this day's council. But we'll take tomorrow. Is far you ride?
As far, my lord, as will fill up the time twixt this and supper. Go not my horse, the better. I must become a borrower of the night for a dark hour or twain.
Fail not our feast.
My lord, I will not.
Goes Fleance with you?
Aye, my good lord. Time does call upon us.
I wish your horses swift and sure of foot, and so I do commend you to their backs. Farewell. To be thus is nothing, but to be safely thus. Our fears in Banquo stick deep. And in his royalty of nature reigns that which would be feared. 'Tis much he dares. And to that dauntless temper of his mind, he hath a wisdom that doth guide his valor to act in safety. There is none but he whose being I do fear. He chid the sisters when first they put the name of king upon me, bade them speak to him. Then prophet like they hailed him father to a line of kings. Upon my head they placed a fruitless crown and put a barren scepter in my gripe, thence to be wrenched with an unlineal hand, no son of mine succeeding. If it be so, for Banquo's issue have I filed my mind. For them the gracious Duncan have I murdered, put rancors in the vessel of my peace only for them. And mine eternal jewel given to the common enemy of man to make them kings. The seed of Banquo, kings? Rather than so, come fate into the list and champion me to the utterance.
And Macbeth passes into his castle and goes swiftly to a chamber where two villainous-looking men await his pleasure.
Was it not yesterday we spoke together?
It was so, please, your highness.
Well, then, now, have you considered of my speeches? Know that it was he in the times past which held you so under fortune which you thought had been our innocent self. This I made good to you and all things else that might to half a soul and to a notion crazed say, thus did Banquo.
You made it known to us.
Both of you know Banquo was your enemy.
True, my lord.
So is he mine. And in such bloody distance that every minute of his being thrusts against my nearest of life.
We shall, my lord, perform what you command us.
To our lives. Your spirits shine through you. Within this hour at most, I will advise you where to plant yourselves, acquaint you with a perfect spy of the time, the moment on't. For it must be done tonight, then something from the palace. Always thought that I require a clearness, and with him to leave no rubs nor patches in the work. Fleance, his son, that keeps him company, whose absence is no less material to me than is his father's, must embrace the fate of that dark hour. Resolve yourselves apart. I'll come to you anon.
We are resolved, my lord.
I'll call upon you straight. Abide within. It is concluded. Banquo, thy soul's flight, if it find heaven, must find it out tonight.
At a good distance from the castle, the two murderers hide and wait, straining their eyes and ears for Banquo and Fleance.
It will be rain tonight.
Let it come down!
Fly, Fleance. Fly, fly, fly.
Highest revenge. After Fleance. After him.
But young Fleance has escaped. Fleance is gone. Meanwhile, in the castle, the banquet is about to start.
You know your own degrees. Sit down. At first and last, a hearty welcome.
Thanks to your majesty.
Here had we now our countries on a roof, where the graced person of our Banquo present, whom may I rather challenge for unkindness than pity for mischance.
His absence, sir, lays blame upon his promise. Please your highness to grace us with your royal company.
The table's full.
Here is a place reserved, sir.
Where?
Here, my good lord. What is that moves your highness?
Which of you have done this?
What, my good lord?
Thou canst not say I did it. Never shake thy gory locks at me.
Gentlemen, rise. His highness is not well.
This worthy friend, my lord is often thus and hath been from his youth. If much you note him, you shall offend him and extend his passion. Feed and regard him not. Are you a man?
If I stand here, I saw him.
Aye, for shame.
Blood hath been shed ere now at the olden time. Ere humane statute purged the gentle wheel. Aye, and since two murders have been performed, too terrible for the ear. The time has been that when the brains were out, the men would die and there an end. But now they rise again with 20 mortal murders on their crowns and push us from our stools. This is more strange than such a murder is.
My worthy lord, your noble friends do lack you.
I do forget.
Do not muse at me, my most worthy friends. I have a strange infirmity which is nothing to those that know me. Come, love and health to all, then I'll sit down. Give me some wine. Fill full. I drink the general joy of the whole table. And to our dear friend Banquo, whom we miss. Would he were here. To all and him we thirst, and all to all.
Vomit and quit my sight, let the earth hide me. Thy bones are marrowless, thy blood is cold. Thou hast no speculation in those eyes which others glare with.
The intolerable shadow! Unreal mockery! Ahead!
My lord!
I tell you, speak not. He grows worse and worse. Question enrages him. At once, good night. Stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once.
Good night. And better health attend his majesty.
A kind good night to all.
It will have blood. They say blood will have blood. Stones have been known to move and trees to speak. Auguries and understood relations have by maggot pies and chuffs and rooks brought forth the secrets man of blood. What is the night?
Almost at odds with morning, which is which.
How sayest thou that Macduff denies his person at our great bidding?
Did you send to him, sir?
I hear it, by the way, but I will send. There's not a one of them, but in his house I keep a servant feed. I will tomorrow, and betimes I will to the weird sisters. More shall they speak. For now I am bent to know by the worst means the worst. For mine own good, all causes shall give way. I am in blood stepped in so far that should I wade no more, returning were as tedious as go-all. Strange things I have in head that will to hand, which must be acted ere they may be scanned.
You lack the season of all natures. Sleep.
Come, will to sleep. My strange and self-abuse is the initiate fear that wants hard use. We are yet but young, indeed. How now, you secret black and midnight hags? What is to do?
A deed without a name.
I conjure you by that which you profess. Answer me to what I ask you.
We know thy thought. Beware, Macduff.
Thou hast half my fear of right, but one word more.
Laugh to scorn the power of man. For none of woman born
shall harm Macbeth.
Then live, Macduff. What need I fear of thee?
Macbeth shall never vanquish thee until Great Burnham Wood to High Dunsinane Hill shall come against thee.
That shall never be.
The assurances of the witches comfort Macbeth, but they do not bring peace to him. And shortly news comes to his ears which is most disturbing.
Macduff is fled to England.
Fled to England to join the growing forces of young Malcolm against the tyrant. Macbeth acts immediately, acts upon the thought that comes first into his mind. He sends the murderers to Macduff's castle, where they slaughter Lady Macduff and her children. To England, where Malcolm, King Duncan's son, confers with Macduff, Ross comes with melancholy news.
Your castle is surprised, your wife and babe savagely slaughtered. To relate the manner whereon the quarry of these murdered deer, to add the death of you.
Merciful heaven! Give sorrow words. The grief that does not speak whispers the all-fraught heart and bids it break.
My children too.
Wife, children, servants, all that could be found.
And I must be from thanks. My wife killed too?
I have said.
Be comforted. Let's make us medicines of our great revenge and cure this deadly grief.
There's no children.
All my pretty ones? Did you say all?
Don't cry, all.
Central heavens, cut short all intermission.
Front. To front bring now this fiend of Scotland and myself. Within my sword's length set him if he escape. Heaven forgive me too.
This tune goes, Manly. Come, go we to the king. Our power is ready. Our lack is nothing but our leave. Macbeth is ripe for shaking, and the powers above put on their instruments. Receive what cheer you may. The night is long, but never finds the day.
In the halls of Dunstane Castle, Macbeth, his mind so busy with suspicions and busy with plans, has not time now for his lady. And she, the Lady Macbeth, is ill. She walks now nightly in her sleep. Her gentlewoman reports this to the doctor. And while they confer, Lady Macbeth appears.
Lo, you, here she comes. This is her very guise, and upon my life has to sleep. Observe her, stand close.
How came she by that light?
Why, it stood by her. She has light by her continually. It is her command.
You see, her eyes are open.
Aye, but their sense is shut.
What is it she does now? Look how she rubs her hands.
It is an accustomed action with her to see him thus washing her hands. I have known her to continue in this a quarter of an hour.
Yet here's a spot.
Hark, she speaks.
God damn the smart house, I said. One, two. Why, then, it is time to do it. Hell is murky.
Aye, my lord, fire, soldier, and afeard.
What need we fear, who knows it, when none can call our power to account?
Yet who would have thought the old man to have had so much blood in him?
You mark that?
The Thane of Fife had a wife. Ah, where is she now?
Watch all these hands.
They'll be clean. No more of that, my lord. No more of that. You mar all with this starting.
Go to, go to. You have known what you should not.
She has spoke what she should not. I am sure of that.
Heaven knows what she has known.
Ah, the smell of the blood. Still.
All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. Oh.
What a size there. The heart is sorely charged.
I would not have such a heart in my bosom for the dignity of the whole body.
Well, well, well.
Pray God it be, sir.
Wash your hands. Put on your nightgown.
Look not so pale.
I tell you yet again, Banquo's buried. He cannot come out on his grave.
Even so.
To bed. To bed. There's knocking at the gate. Come, come, come.
Come. Give me your hand.
What's done cannot be undone. To bed. To bed. To bed.
Hang out our banners on the outward walls. The cry is still they come. Our castle strength will offer siege to scorn. What is that noise? I have almost forgot the taste of fears. The time has been my senses would have cooled to hear a night shriek. I have supped full with horrors. Dionysus, familiar to my slaughterous thoughts, cannot once start me. Wherefore was that cry?
The queen, my lord, is dead.
She should have died hereafter. There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out. Out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Arm, arm, and out! I will not be afraid of death and bane till Burnham Forest come to Dunsinane.
But Macbeth's reliance on the assurances of the witches, his confidence that Burnham Wood cannot come to Dunsinane and that therefore he cannot be defeated, is not well founded. For as the forces of Malcolm come to Burnham Wood, Malcolm issues an order.
Let every soldier hew him down a bough and bear it before him. Thereby shall we shadow the numbers of our host and make discovery in report of us.
Gracious, my lord.
Use thy tongue, thy story quickly.
Gracious, my lord, I should report that which I say I saw, but know not how to do it.
Well, say, sir.
As I did stand my watch upon the hill, I looked toward Burnham and anon methought the wood began to move.
Fire, slave.
Let me endure your wrath, but not be so. Within the 3 mile may you see it coming. I say a moving grove.
If thou speakst false upon the next 3, shalt thou hang alive till famine cling thee. If thy speech be sooth, I care not if thou dost for me as much. I begin to be aweary of the sun and wish the estate of the world were now undone. Ring the alarm bell. Low wind, come rack!
At least we'll die with harness on our back.
And now the battle breaks out in all its great fury around the castle. Macbeth, his great broadsword, hacks down his enemies.
Oh, that smiler, weapons laughed to scorn, brandished by man that's of a woman born.
But however staunchly Macbeth himself fights, the battle scales tip slowly and in favor of Malcolm's forces. And finally, Macbeth, cut off and alone among his enemies, stands brandishing his battle sword as the vengeful Macduff strides towards him.
Turn, hellhound, turn!
Of all men else have I avoided thee. But get thee back, my soul is too much charged with blood of thine already.
I have no words. My voice is in my sword, thou bloodier villain, than terms can give thee out. Thou losest labor. As easy mayest thou the entrenched air with thy keen sword impresses make me bleed. Let fall thy blade on vulnerable crest. I bear a charmed life which must not yield to one of woman born.
Despair thy charm, and let the angel whom thou still hast served tell thee Macduff was from his mother's womb untimely ripped.
Cursed be the tongue that tells me.
Now yield thee, coward.
I will not yield, but kiss the ground before young Malcolm's feet, and to be baited with a rabble's curse. Though Burnham would be come to Dunsinane, and thou opposed being of no woman born, yet when I cry to thee, lay on Macduff, and damned be him that first cries hold. Enough!
No!